very subtle.
Okay. How many of you are amazed that he loves you? Okay, what about the rest of you? It should be a shout in the camp that it would just bring this church down. I mean, if God don't do anything else for me, that's enough. At one time I was a sinner, unlovable. I could not even love myself. But he loved me. I still don't know why, but he loved me. And he don't have to do nothing else for me if he don't wants to. That is enough. He pardoned me. He washed me clean with his blood. And now I can say I'm one of his redeemed. So that is amazing. Seeing grace in our life. Amen. Well, I know that you are surprised to see me again. I'm surprised to even see me here again. But I told you last Wednesday, that if I had another opportunity, I will finish, you know, God's attributes. So we do that part two. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate your service. What would we do without musicians, huh? I cannot even sing. I need them at least to cover me, cover all my bad singing. They're good playing. So without delay, I want to get into it because I got a few, you know, things to say tonight. So, God's attributes, part two. Let me read from Romans 5:3-5. And Paul says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." What's wrong with this guy? Who likes pain and suffering, right? I don't know who he's talking to, but we glory tribulations, knowing that tribulations work as patience. Yeah. See? And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Yeah. And hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God will never shame you. If you confess that God is your healer and the doctor said you got cancer, you will die, and you say, "But thank you, doctor, I appreciate your help and everything you have done. But by his stripes, not that I'm going to be healed, I was healed." God will not shame you to die, and then the doctor is going to say, "See, I told you so." No, God will not shame his children. So whatever he promised, he will do.
Amen.
The word of God don't come out void. You know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. God don't make mistakes. God is perfect. So I'm so glad that we don't have to be ashamed to profess who we believe, in whom we believe. We don't have to be ashamed to tell people what do we believe. We don't have to be ashamed to proclaim the gospel, the Jesus Christ, because the whole heavens and God back it up. Whatever you speak in earth, if it's the will of God, he will back it up. There's not enough demons in hell. There's not enough, spirits or anything that can come against the words of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to come, Father, and have fellowship around your word tonight. Thank you, Father. We want to sit at your feet. We want you to teach us the word, Father. Those things that we need, Father, as we grow to the stature of Jesus Christ, stature of the perfect man, Father. Tonight, give us what we have need, and you know what we have need. I don't know what I have need of, but you do, Father, and I trust you, and I have confidence that you will give me what I have need. Maybe not what I wanted, but sometimes I don't even know what I want. So, Father, tonight we invite you to come and we invite you to have your way in our hearts, Father. That is your rightful place. Father, now we came in as an expectation, and we know that you are going to meet more than our expectations tonight, Father. Bless your family. Bless those that are here, those that are in the internet, Father, streaming. Bless, Father, your bride in this portion of her here tonight under this roof, this place that we had separated and dedicated to you, Father, so you can come and have your way in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, we defined attributes last time And patience is an attribute. It's an attribute of God. See, because if you ask me, I'm very impatient. I'm still a little bit impatient. God has worked on me, but I was very impatient when I was younger. I mean, I wanted it, and I wanted it yesterday, see? And if not, I go and take care of it, see? But God has changed that in my life. If you have children, they teach you a lot of patience. I only think this whole white hair comes out of it, huh? So don't worry about it. They teach you. And I used to be active and, you know, always doing. But, you know, kids has a way to mellow you, kind of down, you know. You see me now, this is not used to be me. So, but they have mellowed me down all these years. So now, before I speak, you know, I think, before I used to speak, let it fall whatever they fall. Before I used to just do things with impetuous, you know, in the moment, not thinking, you know. But see, all that has changed. Why? Because God has taught me patience. That's me or that's you or who? Anyway, since that the barriers are low or something, could be. Okay, you figure it out. So, patience. Maybe one of these things are on, you know. It's always happened that way. But if not, let me know. I don't think it's this. Okay. We're going to preach anyway. So patience. And patience brings experience. Of course, you need experience. Because you have to have something, some standard to judge. Again, that's why when I talked about my children, when they used to be 10, 12, 8 years old, they didn't have no experience yet. And that's what's wrong with children today, you know. You tell them something and they forget. Why? Because they don't know. You tell them, don't do that again, because if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Okay. And they go and they do it again. Why? Because they don't have no experience. What is he talking? If I do it again, this happens to me. They don't have nothing to compare in that day, in that given day, what's happening to them. See? So they go through life like, you know, sometimes I call them, you know, like tontos, you know. They're going around like they're making mistakes and they're learning, you know. They're learning and they never learn until you get to be 12, 13. See? But I don't want to be a child again because we have to be child, I guess, if in the kingdom of God. But however, they don't have anything, experience. So they take the day as they go and everything is new to them. That's why you ask them, what do you do that for? I don't know. They just acted. You know, they don't have nothing back there to say, but let me see, if I do this, this will happen. Oh, I had that experience last week. They told me not to. They don't. It's empty. It's a sponge that is not full yet. So they go through life, you know, and you think there, you know, something wrong with that boy. There's nothing wrong with that boy. He just don't have a standard yet. And he will not acquire one until later on when he has experience in life. Then he can say, well, I did that the other day, and this is what happened to me. One time, I better get to preaching here. One time, I was a child, of course, and I got mad at my mom because she caught me stealing her nickels out of her purse. She walked in the room, and I was, you know, I used to do that when I was, well, I like candies a lot and go to a store. And she really let me have it. Okay. She walked out of the room. I was crying, and I said, I'm going to get even. So she bought a new lamp, nice lamp. And then I said, I'm going to fix you. So I got a scissor. I was going to cut the cord. And there goes the light. Do you think I knew? I had an experience with electricity. I don't even know what electricity was. Yeah, that's how tontos we are, you know, at that age. So I went and got the scissors. And as soon as I cut and touched that wire, what happened, JJ? It zapped me. I stopped crying after yelling. I quieted down and I went out of the room. I didn't get to cut the wire. So now I nicked it and touched the wire. I ground myself and that was it. Now that's the first time I learned. I experienced electricity. I will not do that again. See? And that's what I'm talking. Children, we don't know. So we go through life, you know, and we don't understand them, but that's what it is. And you try to talk to an 8-year-old, you know. I was talking to my grandson who was in the pool. And I was trying to tell him something. I think I was trying to correct him, I think. And I got a little passionate about it, you know. And he suddenly stopped me. He said, "Papa, you know that you're not supposed to be arguing with an 8-year-old as an adult." Oh, yeah, I don't know. I said, "He just taught me." I said, "You know, he's right. He don't understand me. I had the experience. I know what's going to happen if you do things, and that I already lived it." But he didn't know. He says, "What are you arguing with me? I don't know anything." He was right. So now I had to kind of bump myself, kind of renew myself with my children. So I had to take another approach because they don't know anything. You can be talking until you turn blue, and you think you get into them. Yeah, no, they don't even understand what you know. They don't. So take that in consideration next time you try to tell your children, you know, how they should behave and all that. Yeah, we should correct them. And you might have to correct them in the same thing over and over and over. Why? Until they get the experience, somehow something will happen. So experience bring hope. So now we got the definition of attribute, the quality of character belonging to someone. See? Essential characteristic of someone. In this case, we're going to talk about God characteristics or attributes or Satan. Now, I'm not going to dwell too much in Satan because actually, if you want to know, you know, for example, the FBI, when they train people to recognize false bills, you know, people like to 20s and 100s, you know, and they counterfeit money. The FBI, when they train the people, they never show them a counterfeit bill. Never. Because there are so many. And everybody do it different. And every time you figure it out, they change it and they do something else. So what they do, they teach you, they show you what a real, genuine bill looks like. And we concentrate on that. We concentrate on God. God is real. So when Satan comes with whatever he comes, you compare to the real. He comes with all kind of schemes and all kind of situations. So you compare that with the real one, and if it don't look like, then that's false. That's it. You don't have to be worried about how it's going to come and how many bills they're going to. No. Once they come, you compare with the attributes of God. If what you experience in your life is don't match the word of God, then there's something wrong. That's how easy it is. So that's what I'm not going to concentrate too much in Satan attributes. The only attribute that we know is sin. And an attribute of sin is unbelief. It's an attribute of unbelief. See, we believe. We have faith. Faith is an attribute. And sickness, that is an attribute of unbelief. See, but I don't want to go that route. You know, I want to go the other route. You know, instead of unbelief, I want to talk about believing God. Yeah. And I want to talk about healing. I don't want to talk about getting sick, you know. If we get sick, we have the antidote. So what should I worry about what it looks like, right? Amen. So that's the definition. Brother Branham said, and I read this to you last week, an exposition of the seven church age. Here also was the answer to Matthew 7:21-23 that we read last week. He says, Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And of course, you cannot do the will of God unless, you know, he show you what the will is. I tried to do. It didn't work out. Not too good. You need to have the Holy Spirit that is your teacher, you know. He will lead you. He will guide you and show you all these things. You have to have something in you to drive you, you know, to show you what is right and what is wrong. Without the teacher, you will not figure it out, period. You might try to do your best, but this is not about doing your best. Your best is never enough. It is to do the will of God. Now, he says, many will say unto him that day, Lord, Lord, have not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. Yet, ye workers of iniquity, Jesus does not deny that they did mighty works, that only the Holy Ghost can accomplish by way of men. Now, that's a clue. Sometimes I wonder, well, how can they do that? They're not Christians. And how can they do what Christians do? Well, because it still is the work of the Holy Ghost. There are some people that if they have faith and in anything, God is not going to say, "Well, you're an unbeliever. I don't accept your faith." No. If he do the same thing I do, God will accept them. And if he can believe the way I believe, God will accept them. Amen. See, that don't mean he's safe and he's a Christian, but God will do it because God is not a respecter of a person. Amen. But he did deny never knowing them. That's all he said. I don't know you. He didn't deny the word, the work. They were not backsliders. They were wicked, unregenerated, reprobates. See, they were the seed of Satan. And then the next one that I read you came from Matthew 13:24-30, the parable of the kingdom. It said the sower in what was the Lord, talking about the sower that went out sowing, the good seed. And it was a sower in black, you know, that was the devil. The word was the field. The seed were people, elect and reprobates. Okay? Both partook of the same nourishment, water and sun, but both pray. See, if you pray with faith, I don't care who you are, God will honor that. God will honor faith. It says, receive help from God. That's why sometimes, you know, some people say, well, you know, I am Catholic. I don't care if you're Catholic. If you believe in God for your healing, God will honor your faith. Now, don't say, oh, because I got the faith, Catholic is correct. No, that's not what it means. The same thing with us. We cannot go on the experience like, well, God did this for me here, God did this for me, God prospered me here, and God gave me this here. So, therefore, God has to be with me. Not really. Don't think that way. That's not the kind of experience that we're talking about. We talk about experiencing God attributes in your life. See? But we can experience all kind of things. We can shout. We can speak in tongues. We can have those experiences in church, but that means that you are a Christian and that you have the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're a Christian, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's not the evidence. Doing work is not the evidence. Huh? Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, up, down, left, right. Okay. Oh, se está cayendo. It's falling. I'm talking. Okay. Thank you, Brother Cobo. I didn't want to give you a hard time. Now it's too much for me. Anyway, so he says, the sword is in white and the black was the devil. He says, both partook of the same nourishment now. But he says, receive help from God. See, if you cry out to God, God don't have no respect of person. God will help you. See? You know, the man said a prostitute can walk in front of the church and she needs help. She needs a healing. And so is this making me? He comes the expert now, the guru. So he said, and if she believes, she can have her healing. But that don't mean that she's a Christian. Take it off or what?
Keep going.
Okay. So, that don't mean that she's a Christian. That means that she has faith enough to believe that God is her healer. And that's what she needs. So, he says, his son and the sun and the rain fall on both of them, good and evil. And through they, and thought they both had the same wonderful blessings, and both had the same wonderful manifestations, their will is still... There was still that one great difference. The word different seed. So what is the difference in the seeds? That is the whole preaching. You can know it by the fruits. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now this is a law of God. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity because that's what the two seeds came from. I'm just going back to the seed chapter. It's Genesis. If they are to see how what it happens, well, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So Satan has a seed. Nice, huh? Where did that seed came from? We know her seed is Adam, you know, the male, that's where the seed comes from. But where did Satan got seed from? So it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we know, I don't have to go into too many details, that's not the scope of this preaching. We know that it wasn't apples. Amen. If that's what they teach out there. Because if apple was what made them recognize that they were naked, might as well pass the apples now. I mean, the women are all naked out there. Maybe we can take some apples and maybe we'll do something. That don't work today, and it won't work that day neither. So we know it was adultery. That's where that seed came from. The seed of Satan possessed that beast, you know. It wasn't a snake at the beginning. We know that. That's what we believe. It was erect. It could reason. It could talk. It could move. Must be beautiful, Brother Brown said, because it wasn't repulsive to her. And we know that that is the seed that we're talking about. And that's how Eve was beguiled and received a seed from the beast. And then she went and told Adam, and they got a seed from Adam too. He did it with a purpose. So, and that's not my scope. Maybe some people are there now in the internet, they probably show me off by now, but that is the truth. And now you guys know, don't have to go through details, but he says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I like the way this symbolism here. Because it talks about it shall bruise thy heel, that the head. You know, Brother Branham said the following. He says, I want to ask you, minister, something. How can you deal with sin without dealing with sickness? You cannot deal with sin in any measure without dealing with sickness. For sickness is an attribute of sin. You cannot touch sickness or sin more without dealing with sickness and all his attribute. For sin is the mane, it is the head of the serpent. So the illustration that is given here in Genesis is that is the head, see, of the serpent. Kill the head. I mean, if a rattler come up on you, brother JJ, and you only cut the rattle, he's still going to bite you. But if you cut the head, don't away with it. And that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to cut the rattle. He came to bruise him, to kill that head. Because the problem is always the head, Brother JJ. See? That's why we have to lose our minds. We have to lose our head and get his head, the man of Christ. So not only the serpent has to lose his head, he loses control. He cannot bite you anymore. Now you can make a choice. Before, you could not make a choice. But the man says, kill the head, and you have actually killed the body. And Jesus Christ in the cross did that for you and me. That's why we don't have to worry no more about Satan. He still think he can do. He can't. He's a bluffer. He has no head. So that means he cannot hurt you. There's no weapon that can be made that can hurt you anyway. And you cannot kill it at the head without killing the body. See, so if he just come to heal us and not save us, we could have something to say about the salvation. But he came to deal with salvation for our soul, which is the head. See, he came to destroy the kingdom of Satan. He came to destroy His ways. But he didn't come just to destroy one part. He destroyed the whole thing. See? Which is the head. And when you kill the head, you got to kill the rest of the body. So you can not deal with. And then he was going to say something. So, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, a heel, you know, that's Jesus Christ. I know you know that when a baby is born, you know, as soon as he come out, the doctor will hang him by his heels, right? He hold his little legs, the two, and then they go, you know, a little spine, so opens the lung. So the heel is kind of a vulnerable, you know, that's an illustration, a spot, you know. So that's why the Bible said that he shall bruise his heel, because that was Jesus in Calvary. He just bruised him. He didn't kill him. In fact, if you don't know what was going to happen, it would never happen. It was like a kid, you know. When he's born, you hit him and life comes into it. Well, he killed Jesus thinking that he was going to do away with it, but life came out, right? He resurrected. So anyway, that's just a little illustration about that thing. So now, you know, I'm not trying to say that God don't love the sinner and the wicked and the evil. You know, he loved Cain. God is not a God of destruction. God is a God of love. That's an attribute. And he loved Cain. He gave him an opportunity. He said, if you imitate, you know, your brother, I will accept you. I know you cannot get it, but do it. See, he didn't want him to go to hell. He don't want no one to go to hell. The Bible said he's patient, see? And he's waiting that people come to the knowledge of salvation, of the truth. He don't want no one to be lost. And today, you know, we know that is his plan. Whosoever wants to, whosoever. We know that Jesus and Judah was the bad seed. God was the good. Jesus was the good seed. Now we see that Jesus. You think Jesus knew that Judah was a bad seed or not? He was. He knew everything. So, but he didn't treat it different than the other 11. He partook of the ministry, knowing who he was. God was hoping that he will turn around, because he didn't want to destroy Judah. In fact, he didn't destroy Judah. Judah did that himself. So God, even knowing, God knew Cain and Jesus knew Judah, he still treated him with dignity. And that is you and I. We need to treat people regardless. We hate sin, but you don't hate the people. You have to have dignity towards everybody. You want to be treated that way. So the same thing with Jezebel. The revelation said that he gave her room to what? To repent. See, that's what God wants to come to the knowledge of the truth and repent. And he will save you. It doesn't matter if you're part of the bride or not. But God don't want no one to be lost. So don't think that I'm trying to say this because you are special and they are not. You know, it's God's creation. Everything is special to God. You know, of course, God don't like evil. And God don't like sin. But it wasn't you and it wasn't me. One time we was children of wrath to doing these things. And God still loved you. And he waited patiently. Amen. Right? Amen. So with the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So treat others like you like to be treated. Amen. So now, by their fruit you shall know them. See, according to what we read in verse 17, Matthew 7, 15 and 19. And fruits are attributes or characteristics. See? So here Brother Brown said in Satan Eden, every seed will bring four of its kind. If you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. See, and then when you hear the word of God, my sheep will hear my voice, a stranger they won't follow. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. See, and this is where we are today. This is the time, the end time. It is harvest time. This is time for fruition. This is the time where the fruit is in the vine on the top. And everybody's putting out their fruits. And by their fruits, we shall know them. See, this is it. We are at the end. There's no more way to go back and make things right. This is it. We don't have no more time left. Either we are or either we are not. How do I know I am? If I'm sown by God, see, then I will bring forward his work. I will bring forward his attributes. And not Satan. Satan is not my father anyway. For me, he's dead. My first husband is dead because he smashed his head down. I'm glad he did that for me. So I don't think no longer like him. I don't do like him. Now I got another head. And that head is the head of Jesus Christ. His mind. Now I have a choice. See, what at one time I couldn't have done, now I have a choice. So, here in Titus 2:4, this is what I was talking about. Who will have all men to be saved. I was telling you, God is not mad about people because what they do. And coming to the knowledge of the truth. And in 2 Titus 3:7, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is a problem. There's nothing inside there. God didn't put something that they can understand. They don't have no revelation. So they look and they look and they study, but never come to the truth, to the knowledge of the truth. So, if you cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, what is the second best thing you do? You make your own. That's why we have all this denomination. See? They don't see clearly, so they have to do something, right? And in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, it says, but if the gospel is hid to them that are lost. Okay? I remember that when Jesus came in the scene, God blind the eyes of Israel, his children's. But now, this is the same way we are going out. See? He blind his children, so the Gentiles come in. Now the Gentiles are going to be blind, so they can come in. So, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, had blinded the minds of them which had believed not. So you don't have any chance. Nobody that believes God. If you reject God, we have no chance. See? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, the light of the gospel. I'm glad that we are living in the evening light. Because that evening light, when it came and shined upon me, it brought the image. See? I didn't know who I was. I was trying to figure out my identity and what I'm supposed to do. But when that light shines upon me, I can look at the Word of God now and I can see myself. Now I know who I was, what I was, and what is my purpose in life. Before I didn't know. But God sent the light, that is the gospel, that is the image of God. And it's Jesus Christ, to shine unto them. So you are the product of the evening light. See, you were reserved for this day. And when that light of the message shine upon the seed that was in this age, me, I'll be part of it, and you guys, then you recognize who you were and who was God. But that light was only for those that were predestinated. But the gospel is still hid for those that are not believers. Sometimes people say, well, all the seals are open. Well, now the seventh seal is not open. Well, if you're not a believer, none of the seals are open anyway. See? Because they are hid, you know? God has to give you the revelation. So if somebody said, this is not open and this is not open, I just wondered, you know, what kind of a message do you believe? Because they were open. At least they were open to us. We saw the light of the glorious gospel that is going to change us. See, from glory to glory, we read the Bible and we catch a glimpse. That's why we come to church and we read the Bible and we preach and you get a glimpse. You know, God opens himself a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And every time he gives you a glimpse of himself, you know who you are. Because that was who Adam and Eve. Adam didn't know who she was. Her identity was in Adam. And Adam was the one that had to tell her who she was. What she was doing there. Why was she made? And the same thing with you and me, the bridegroom. That's your identity in there. And he's the one who's teaching you who you are. When you see who God is, you reflect, your life reflects in the Bible, in the Word of God, and you say, wow, I didn't know that. It's still by revelation. I'm glad that nothing is hid from us. I'm glad that I don't have nothing to do with it. I'm glad that was the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, attributes, characteristics, see, they were in the seed already. That's the law in Genesis 1:11 says, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and in the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in himself. See, When God put that seed in you and me before the foundation of the world, in that seed was everything that we have need. See? Everything that we are, everything that we're going to be, is all in that seed. Brother Branham says, in the Holy Spirit, you have everything that you have need to go from here to heaven. All that is already in you. Yeah, amen. Brother Branham says, Satan didn't notice. He's a thought. Don't forget it. I will get to it sometime in other messages. But you know, God said, let it be, let every seed bring forth of its kind. It is God's commandment. So see, I don't have to worry. If I'm a son of God, in spite of me, I'm going to make it. Amen. Not because me, because him. Yes. Because that is God's commandments. God cannot fail. Now, what good is in any preacher or any else try to make the word say something else? See, it won't produce anything. See, every word of God is a seed. Jesus said, a seed, a sower, sow. So in Mark 16, it's God's word. Mark 16 is God's word. It brings forth of its kind. So you and I are a product of our Father, and we had to bring of his kind, his attributes. You know, the way God is, that is our, you know, fruits. We bring after God's own characteristics. Malachi 4 is God's word. I'm glad. It's bring forth of its kind. You are the product of Malachi 4. Amen. That message came, see, to find the seeds. See, I didn't know I was a seed. I was happy enough to be saved and not go to hell in the Baptist church. You know? But one day, the light of this gospel came. Amen. And he found me. I didn't even know I had a seed in me. In fact, I'm just so perplexed, and this is awesome. Can you imagine that I was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world? For me, that's awesome, amazing. Giant to us, that my son always says, big. How? I can't even fathom that I was in him before the foundation. But now I know that I am in him. See? I cannot explain it, but that is what it is. It says, Malachi 4 was God's word. It brings forth of his kind. We are the kind. Every other promise must bring forth of its kind. If it wasn't a seed in this age, then Malachi 4, we would have no effect. What even sent a message? The only reason the message was sent is because you and you and me were here. See? So you are the end time seed. Amen. That God is coming to get. But the man says in 85, says, every seed must come forward of his kind. That's how God established his Eden. Is that right? Congregation said amen. And here it is. That's how God established his church. The true church is his seeds. Every word after its kind, precept upon precept, statute upon statute, word upon word, that is how God built his church. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. See, Satan, he will take something else. But you know, Satan is very smart. If he's going to take something else, he takes it from God because God is perfect. He wouldn't, don't worry, Brother Calvo, he would not. Satan will not talk to you. He knows what perfection is. You know we are imperfect people. So he says, I take from the best, and I will corrupt it. That's the only problem, that he cannot stay with the word. So he corrupted. So he says, Satan, over here says, Satan, he will take something else, corrupts God's word, see? But God said, every seed after its own kind. So, we know that even though it's a corrupt seed, you know, God gave gift to man. And if God give a gift, God will not take it back. See? If someone has a gift, if you use it for God, fine. If you don't, use it for your own purpose, your own benefit. You know, so you can be popular and accepted and make money. God will not take it away. Once God gives you something, God cannot make a mistake. So we had two seats, and everybody is drinking out of the same fountain, and everybody's getting nutrients from the same tree, from the same sap. They're producing different fruits, see? But that just because they're doing, you know, they are wicked and their iniquity are found in them, God did not say, well, I made a mistake. So I got to take away your gift. No. They have a gift. We know that even in the Old Testament, they have an anointing, is what I call it. And that anointing, for example, Samson was given an anointing to do his ministry, what God gave him to do. And also David was anointed king. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was an anointing that used to come and go. Samson, he was not strong all the time or experienced the power 24/7. No, when the time came to use that power, God will anoint him for that service or for that ministry at that moment. But once it's done, you know, back to himself. And David also, and all the prophets of the Old Testament, they were anointed because the Holy Spirit has not been given yet. So in the New Testament, we'll see also John the Baptist. John the Baptist received the Holy Spirit where? In the womb. But that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Ghost is what do all this work. I don't care if it's bad, good, or indifferent. We read that Brahman said, by the Holy Ghost is what men do, what they can do for the kingdom of God. So John the Baptist was received the Holy Spirit, the anointing, to do his ministry. Why I know that? Because Jesus hasn't died yet. So the Holy Spirit hasn't come. Not only him, but also we see that Jesus Christ was baptized as soon as he came out of the water. See? He also received the Holy Spirit for his ministry. Power. Power for his ministry. See? And I told you last week that 70 disciples were anointed to go and preach the gospel. But that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was an anointing. See, Jesus hasn't died yet for that. So, what happened to the 70? Only 12 remained at the end. There was 120 in the open room. But before at 70, there used to be 500. And they got kind of, disagreeable when Jesus said, you know, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no power of me. So they left. God didn't take their gift away. They still had an anointing to do ministry. They probably went out, decided to start something different, a little bit away from this guy, you know, but that, you know, then it was an like Baptist, and then from Baptist come something else, and from that comes something else. You know, people get disagreeable, and they go and start their own church. But God don't take their gift away. So I don't think those 500 disciples that learned under the teaching of Jesus, suddenly they forgot everything because they just left. No. So they still had an anointing. I remember that the son of thunder, one time they saw, you know, James and John, they saw a guy, you know, preaching the gospel and doing things, and they tell God, that cannot be so. He's not part of us. Let's send some, you know, something from heaven, you know, strike him. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you have. Just because somebody don't belong to the message, you know, rank, that don't mean that there's nothing happening out there. There's a lot of things happening out there. Jesus was in the pool of Bethesda, and the water was troubled. When he was there doing healing, something else was happening. God did not take that away. So what I'm saying is, you know, we know that we have the real thing. See, and they think they brought the real thing. But just because they do what they do, God is not taking it away. God don't make mistakes. God do not make mistakes. God has a purpose for everything out there. But by the fruit you shall know them. Now, let's see the character of Jesus. What was the character of Jesus? Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. peace, suffering, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Faith is an attribute. Meekness, temperance, and against such things there's no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Envy comes from Satan. Provoking, that's come. And if you're going to provoke somebody to a good work. I mean, you can provoke me to a good work, but not to, you know, to do something that is different than that, opposite to that. Now, do not desire vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. See, that's what people do out there, you know, keeping up with the joints, you know. We don't do that. God gave everybody gift, you know. I cannot play, I cannot sing, I cannot preach, but I love to be a good preacher and a good singer and everything. In fact, there are some preachers that have all of them. You know, they can sing, they can play, they can preach. Man, I said, God, you didn't give me anything. Give it all to this guy, you know. You should not be envious. Somebody asked me one time, don't you feel intimidated when Brother Doug is there and you're preaching? I said, why? He's Doug and I am Eli. So God made me one way and God made him another way. I'm not envious of his ministry. I'm not envious of his way of preaching. Yes, better than me. Eloquent. I like it. But I'm not that way. Sorry. But that don't mean because I'm not that way that I'm less. My ministry and Andy's ministry complement his ministry. We're not envious of one another. And I don't have to be intimidated that he's good. He is good. You know. I'm glad that he is. And when you feel that way about somebody else, that's not envious. That you're glad that somebody has something more than you got. And you said, thank you, Lord, for giving them that much. That's when you know you love your brother and you're not envying. Let me say something here about desires. Desires. You have a choice. You and I have. We have a choice. Or we do God's will or we do our will. But our desires, when you compare your desire, my desire with the God's desire, there's just no advantage. Sometimes we do things that bring satisfaction to us, you know, whatever it is. You know, even if we go to one of those pizzerias and you know, we eat until, you know, we explode, you know. But that's a sin. Okay, you're quiet on that one, but that is. That's the only one I can come up so I don't get in trouble, you know. I like to eat too. But you can't do everything too much. It's a sin, you know. So what I'm saying is, if that is where you find satisfaction, okay, and you don't find satisfaction to come to the to hear the word of God and get full to the max with his word, so what is more beneficial to you to begin with? To have all that food in the physical? You know, go in one way, go out the other way, and that's done. You gotta eat again. Or you desire the word of God that will keep you. Mm-hmm. That will give you strength. The word of God is, he is my strength. Sometimes I feel weak, and you know what? I like to, you know, if I take this herb, and if I take this herb, and if I do this, if that's okay. You can do the mechanics, but listen, what is more satisfying, what is more desirable? To let him to be your strength, or to you to choose something else that will give you strength? You know, he's perfect. Whatever he do for you is better than anything you can find yourself. I'm not saying not to do it. But all I'm trying to tell you is, when you look at your desires and God's desire, there's no comparison. When you find yourself in a situation that you think something, you know, Eve was looking at that apple and she desired it so bad. But you know what? If she would have desired the word of God that bad, she would never get in trouble. I know that she was beguiled. All I'm saying is, when we encounter temptation, think about it. this will bring me some satisfaction, but it's temporary, and sooner or later it will be destroyed me, or I'm going to have to pay for what I've done. So what is better for me? To desire what God has for me. It's always better. Envy, vain glory, all these desires are against. That's not attributes of God. Now, Brother Brown says, Jubilee year. And today, the same kind of religion that we have has branch off till it comes so potent till it's Hollywood show almost now. You know, that is the truth. And we got it into place, set up a big band music and play music and carry on and act like pretending Christians. But go to them and cross one up one time and watch what you get. See? What kind of a fruit you got, what kind of a attribute you're going to get if you come the cut the wrong way, you know? So that's what he's saying. What happened to you and me when somebody tells you the wrong things? Or something that you didn't want to hear? Or something that you didn't agree? What comes out of you? Attributes. You check your attributes. Listen, we know one thing. If you, Brother Doug said this all the time. If you squish an orange, what do you get? And if you squeeze a rose, what do you get? A smell, a sweet smell. So listen, when somebody squeezes you and rub you the wrong way, what comes out of you? Sweetness or retaliation? If it's retaliation, that's not God's attribute. You're still working on your feelings. When somebody tells you, you know, people are sarcastic. I used to use that a lot, and sometimes I don't like to be sarcastic, but I had a reason for it. Anyway, but I never said something to hurt anybody sometimes. But sometimes people are kind of, you know, dangerous, you know. It might be funny, but still, they say something, but they mean something else, you know. I heard one that somebody told a lady, you know, to be a fat lady, you surely don't sweat a lot. Is that a compliment or what? Yeah. Is she trying to call him fat or? But she tells him, well, at least you don't sweat much. Which one? I don't know. But see, that's a sarcasm. You know? They don't come straight to tell the truth, but they want to use some sarcasm. And you have to be careful of that because sometimes we do that. We don't like to go straight to and tell someone how you feel about, we use sarcasm, you know? One time I was talking to two brothers. One was losing his hair, and the other one had no hair. So the one that had no hair told the other guy, you know, why don't you put that hair out of the misery and just shave it all off? But the guy didn't want to hear that he's losing his hair. So sometimes, you know, depending how we approach and we say things, you can hurt people. Now, it doesn't matter. It's what the whole thing is. It doesn't matter what people said to you. It's how you respond to people that is going to count. When they squeeze you, what are you going to give? Are you going to have joy? Are you going to have peace? Are you going to have serenity? Are you going to be nice and say, but God bless you? Brother Branham was put to the ringer. One time the guy said, you don't even know how to pronounce the word pulpit, you know? You are an educator. I'm ashamed. I mean, you don't even should be in that pulpit preaching. You don't even know. You didn't even have a school or anything. And Brother Branham, after that guy just running back and forward, he says, you're right. All that was right. It wasn't wrong. He was saying the truth. Now, the motivation was different, but that was the truth. And Brother Branham says, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I should have got an education, but I was so busy, always taking care of the family and helping my father. Yes, yeah, but that's not an excuse. You should have. Yes, I know. I mean, he took him up and down, up and down. Finally, you know, he agreed with him. He didn't tell him, well, what do you think you are? You know, God chose the foolish of the world to confound the what? The what? I mean, you can answer that way, and you're still biblical, but it's wrong. The motives is wrong. So he had everybody praying. The whole nation, the whole world was praying for him. Every time somebody came to him and said, Brother, I don't think that's right. Will you pray for me so God will teach me right? or show me the right way. Oh, Brother Branham, okay, can you pray for me? He had everybody praying for him. No wonder he had so much wisdom. You see? He would not retaliate. He says, yes, yes, that's true. Anyway, he says, so that is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. If we profess to be Christian and we are rubbed the wrong way, your response will tell you what is in you. That's what tribulations come. That's what situations come. It is not to know, but God needs to know what is in you. God knows what is in you. You don't know what is in you. And tribulations and the tests and all these things that come through life is to prove to you who you are, what God puts in you. So don't if you are tested, you know, like James says, knowing this, that tribulations says worketh, you know, patience. Because if you just, you know, hold your mouth and wait on the Lord will satisfy you. But sometimes we are not patient enough. We have to do something. Anyway, he says, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, let us motivate one another to act in love and in kindness. Amen. That is your reasonable service to one another. So, now in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. See, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are God's disciple. I told you last week, it was not the other way around. If you said you love God and you don't love your brother, that's a lie. Why? The way you prove to anybody that you love God is by loving your brother the way God loves you. That is an attribute of God. Brother Brown says, hidden life in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. That was the character of Jesus. Gentleness, patience, meekness, temperance, fruit of the Spirit. God knows today that what the holiness people need, and also the Calvinists, and all of them need today is more fruit of the Spirit. See? More life to prove it. Oh, so he says, we have had many testimonies, but as the old saying is, your life speaks so loud I cannot hear your what? Your voice. So I don't want to hear a sermon preached to me. I want to see someone live. But by your attributes, you know if you live in a sermon and you cannot hear your voice. Why? What we need is more of what? Of the fruit of the Spirit. What we need today is more of His character. What we need today is more of God's attributes. And He will give it to us. It's going to be a fight between your flesh and His will, but He will give it to you. He said, your life speaks so loud, I cannot hear your voice. We are written epistles of God, read of all men. So, your thought can speak louder than your voice. Don't tell me who you are. Show me who you are. Now, let me get into experience, because that's how I started in Romans 5:4, and patient experience and experience hope. And in Luke 21:19, it says, in your patience, you possess your soul. See? Abraham waited 25 years. He was patient. He never doubted the word of God. Now, anybody of you has waited 25 years for something that God promised you? Is anybody here? 25, okay. 1, 7 years maybe. So, you know, waiting 25 years and stand still patiently waiting for the promise. That was Abraham. So you shall possess your soul. What is in your soul? There's only one attribute in your soul. Faith. And that's what Abraham had. And you can possess the same faith if you are patient with God. If you are patient with his promises. It's all he's saying. You know, don't get frustrated. Don't get impatient. What God said he was going to do, he will do it. He wants to know if we're going to stand firm and do the things that we ought to do. See? God will test his children. Brother Branham says, bless the Lord in Hebrews chapter 6, number 2. Bless the Lord if they're at the end of the seat. I think it's praying. They're finding an altar. It is at their seat where they're sitting now that you spoke to their heart that they are wrong. It is at their seats that you have to put this, to put a desire in their heart that they long to be more like Jesus. They want their life changed. They want to be meek and humble. They want, those are the, those attributes, those are the fruit of the Spirit. They want, if that's what you want tonight, they want to be gentle and full of what? Listen, don't ask God for patience, please. Because he gives you tribulations. The more you ask for patience, the more trouble you're going to go through, because that's how you create tribulation. I mean, that's how you create patience. Just ask God to give you the fruit of the Spirit. Let him figure it out. I had a pastor, you know, that he went to Venezuela, went to Brazil, and he wanted to do something for the pastors and ministers. So he made up a... sent to make some ballpoints, some pens like with his name and the tabernacle and some logos in it. And he was going to pass this, you know, as a token of his appreciation to the brothers. So when he got to that area there in Venezuela and all the area, he started passing all the ministers and all the pastors. And he told them, you know, when you use this pen, pray for me, for patience. Well, 3 months later, he calls them all from the U.S. Stop praying. Please stop praying. And I have been in much trouble than I am right now. So don't ask to pray for patience, because God will give you more tests and more tribulations. He says, stop praying. He says, down here. Long to be more like Jesus. They want their lives changed. They want to be meek, humble. They want gentleness, patience. They want long-suffering, forbearing. They want to be Christians-like, so Christ-like, till the world will say, as they go down the street, that man is a real Christian. See, if you tell me you're a Christian, that's okay. But when somebody else said that you are a Christian, that's a different story. See, because you believe yourself to be something. But you know, what people perceive you are, that is what really you are. So if people say that is a nice Christian young man, he's polite, he's respectful, he's sweet, you know, he never loses his temper. See, he must be a Christian. That woman is really a Christian. Oh, they are most gentle, meekest, sweetest people. Brother Brown continues saying, granted, Lord, that they will receive that experience tonight. Patience will be experienced. And may they never rest upon their church ability, upon their afflictions, with any affiliation with any church, any denomination, or neither upon their emotions, upon any fantastic, such as emotionally, something that has happened. May they shout, because they shouted, spoke in tongues, or something else. That's not the experience he's talking about. He's talking about a personal experience. Let me continue reading. Now I have talked to some of their best men, their best theologians, and they say, Brother Branham, you are right, but what can I do now? I will do rise up against that. We do be kicked out, you know, if we believe that, And what would our church think about us when we have taught them for years? We have taught them for years that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. See? What if we change it now? That's the curse of what? denomination. That is a curse of anybody that believe that those things are the evidence of the experience, personal experience with God, with Jesus Christ. Listen, I like shouting. I'll be the first one. Oh, I like emotion. If I don't have emotion, I'm dead. I like feelings. I like all this stuff. I like speaking in tongues. But that's not the evidence. But if you're a true Christian, you can do all that. See? But Satan likes to imitate. Satan likes to copy everything. He says, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. What if we change it now? That's the curse of the denomination. Bless the Lord. We have the denomination just as the Spirit leads, we take it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a personal what? Experience. But Rabbi continues saying, that's what the evidence is, brother. You have passed from death unto life. And all the things that you once done pass away because the life of Jesus Christ, it took your spirit into controlling. New creature. Once purged, has no more desire of sin and as long as you live in earth. So if you are constantly weak and falling up and down, remember, you might have a mental, it's an assumption, probably conception of it. But never an experience of being born again. Patience brings experience. And the only experience that Brother Brian's talking about here is the experience of experiencing Jesus Christ personally to you. That is the experience of the Holy Ghost. Because without one, you will not have meekness. You will not have joy. Because that's what the Holy Ghost fruit brings into your life. When meekness, gentleness, patience take the place of this mental theology. Oh, you said, listen here, Mr. Branagh, I studied the Bible. I'm a pastor, so, took Bible lessons. Yes, devil has too. How knows? He knows more about it than you ever know. That's right. But there's one thing. He can get the Holy Ghost. He cannot get the Holy Ghost. You can. That's right. So as long as he cannot get to you, for you are dead. Your life is hidden in God and sealed by the Holy Ghost. How could he ever get you? The first thing, you are dead. Did you ever hear a dead man tell lies? Did you ever hear a dead man fussing back? You stand at the casket and fuss at him all night. He will never say a word. Jesus, they took him to they slapped him, they kicked him, they put that thorn in his head, they did all kind of evil things, and he never what? Opened his mouth. Why? Because he knew who he was and what his purpose was. You know what your purpose is. It doesn't matter what the world says out there. It doesn't matter who says what to you. You should know who you are and what you are. So it doesn't matter. They can call me whatever they want to call me. I know what he called me, what God calls me. That's all I'm interested. What is it that so many Christians find so hard to live a Christian life? What a title. He says, now, if that life doesn't accompany you, if that life doesn't accompany you, the attributes of God, no matter, I speak in Christ's name. You say, Brother Branham, I've had wonderful experience. That doesn't do it. Brother, Jesus never said, by their spirit you shall know them. You know, speaking in tongues and doing all this. By their fruit you shall know them. What your life produces in Christ Jesus, that is what counts. And that's all it is to it. By the Spirit you shall know them, but by their fruit you shall know them. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy, long-suffering, meekness, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's the characteristic of God, and that's the character of Jesus Christ. Does that accompany your life? Now, I don't want to see any hands anyway, but you know, put yourself in any situation. When somebody says false things against you, what do you do? When somebody, you know, said things that are not true, what comes out of your life? That's who you are. What do you do when you're home alone? Whatever you do, that's who you are. When nobody can see you. Well, somebody sees you, But you are what you do alone. And I don't know what you do. So it says, it says, joy, long suffering, meekness, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faith. Does that accompany your life? Don't be deceived. It's too late. Do not be deceived. We are at the end of the road. Friends, this might be the last time you get a chance to check up. So better do it. Make your election and your call sure. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is God working in us. It's not by works. You can be a good guy or a good girl, but that don't count. It's good to be good. But we must do things because it's God attributes in us manifesting, displaying in our lives. But what it in the Thyatirian church age, but what it takes to be a Christian is a born again what? Experience. So if you are not born again, if you don't never experience that, there's no way you can get started. That's why we have problems sometimes. No, young people, you need to know. You know, we don't preach the Holy Ghost only. That's not our only doctrine. We preach all kind of things. It just happened to be that Brother Andy preached about the promised land. And he told you that it's the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing as receiving the Holy Ghost in these days. That's our promised land. Before that, Brother Doug, 2 Sundays ago, he preached. And he spoke about the Holy Ghost. I already had this done last week before even Andy was supposed to preach. So if it comes this way, that's somebody needs it. Listen, we are not here wasting your time, and I'm not wasting my time, and I'm sure not wasting God's time. Somebody needs it. I don't know, maybe just one person out there in the stream. I don't know. But at least somebody needs this. Christian is a life the man, a man lives, or a woman lives. See, a person experience with Jesus Christ, it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, but I already know that. That's basic. Yeah, I'm glad that you know it. I'm glad you got the Holy Ghost. So what happened to those that are not have the Holy Ghost? You know, we have 2 or 3 generations already here. And I don't know who is out there listening tonight. Brother Ron says, thing that wasn't from the beginning. I'm almost done here. Lord, let our experience, if we have ever had it yet till this morning, if there's someone sitting here that never had the beginning experience, it has to be the beginning. That's where everything starts. And God, that same spirit that poured out in the beginning, why should we take a substitute? Why should we take something fanatism? Why should we take something radical, cold, formal, indifferent, when the Pentecostal skies are full of the real, genuine articles? Why? Why? You know why? Because the substitute will not work. Substitute only works temporary. It might make you feel good for a little bit. But the Holy Spirit will work forever, from here all the way there. Because God promised that. Why do you want a substitute? That's what I was telling you. You know, if you had a desire, you know, why will you take a substitute when discerning what God gave to you is just 100 times better than that? Lord, it says, our experience, if we have had it till this morning, so he was talking, 52, Lord, let's go back to the beginning and receive it like they did at the beginning, and had the same work, signs, wonders that bears the same fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. God granted, hear us, Father, for we commit this little church and this revival to you, in your hand, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This thing is not working, I don't think so. I see the same time all the time. It don't change. I'm going to check with my... No wonder I keep saying, I got time. Amen. Let's stand. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's talk to the Creator of heavens and earth. Father, thank you once again for this Wednesday. Thank you because we had another opportunity to sit at your feet. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Father, we cannot repay you. And even if we could, we don't want to, Father. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for saving us, for cleaning us, for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Father, we are at awe with you. You are such a good God in our life, Father. You care for us. You love us. You protect us. You feed us. You dress us. Father, everything that we have need, you provide for us, Father. Father, even when we are down, Father, even when we are frustrated, even when things are not going right, you always come in the scene at the right time. When we are sick, when we are troubled, you're always near. All we have to do is just breathe your name, Jesus. And you are there, Father. Father, we are so blessed. We must be the most blessed people in the face of this earth to know you as we know you, Father. There's people out there that running through and fro, and if they knew what we knew, Father, they would take our place. But Father, we tonight we just give you thanks and we praise you, Lord, for because you are God and there's no other God like you. Father, if there's someone here tonight that don't have that blessed Holy Spirit that we talked about, someone that don't really know God personally, because that is what the Holy Spirit is the person of Jesus Christ. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father in me, and I'm in you. In that day, the day when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, I pray that there's anybody here that hasn't had that experience, Father. We are at the end. We don't even know if we have another chance. We cannot say, well, I'll wait until tomorrow, next service, or when brother so-and-so comes. How do you know you're going to live that long? How do you know that things are going to get better or worse in that time? This is time to check up. This is another opportunity that we have to check up. To let God examine our lives, Father. Father, we want to produce Jesus in our life. We want to display your word. We're supposed to be written epistle, Father. Father, the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. Those attributes back again in flesh, walking, talking. Your creation is waiting. Father, help us tonight to set everything, every weight of sin. There's nothing out there that we can discern that is better than what you had already done and provided for us. There's nothing out there that can satisfy my soul. The only thing that satisfies my soul is you. Father, forgive us when we sometimes falter, we make wrong choices. We elect things, errors, Father. We know that that's not us. I believe
what you said about us. That's who I believe I am. Father, tonight, again, in here or out there, people streaming, I don't know who they are. If I just pray that if they want this Holy Spirit, it is there for their asking. All they have to do is say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. And then God will give you the fruit of the Spirit. And now you can be like Him. Father, we love you tonight, and we ask you for our brother pastor. Bring him home, save, give him again, Father. I know you do the same thing with Brother Branham when he used to go there. Father, you know, you the smallest thing, the smallest desire that we have, you know. And sometimes that is what I know, that you care, because you care about the little, smallest things in our life. So I know that you care about everything, small or big. So, Father, we pray that you bring our pastor back and rejoicing that he had a good time, Father, and not only that, but that you kept him and protect him and cover him, Father, from all temptations and things. Father, we pray for this church. Father, you have brought us a long way. I mean, through thick and thin, to bad and ugly. Father, we have come this far, and we are not giving up, Father. We are not going back. We want to go all the way, Father. We want to, until Jesus appears, displays in my flesh, until I change. That's what I want. I want your life to be lived through me. So just help me, Father, to die out to my feelings, to my thoughts, to my ideas. Father, because they don't compare to yours at all. So much that Satan knows it. Satan don't copy anybody else but you, because you're the only perfect one. And if Satan knows that, how can we match? Our thoughts, our ideas, our ways can match God's way. Father, help us tonight to have patience and wait for the promises. Let us not dismay or get frustrated, or help us stand firm until this change of my body will come. It will come because you promised it, Father. In the meantime, we're going to continue faithful to your word, faithful to you, and faithful to live a life that is worthy of the gospel tonight. Father, we can say so many things, but Father, I'm out of time. Just bless your people. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's sing that song. That's what you want. Whoa, yours, Lord. That's what you want. Change your heart. Change your heart. Make it ever true. Change my heart. He wants to do that more than what you wanted. You know that?